All right, thank you, church family. Take your Bibles, please, and find Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I hope you all are happy in the Lord tonight. It's been a lovely day and always a blessing for me to be with you guys here at the church. And I'm looking forward to preaching to the teenagers. You'll pray about that, won't you? And we know, we say things like this, boy, our teens need help, so here's why we're here. And you pray fervently every day this week that God will work in our hearts. How many of y'all believe the Bible has the power to change lives, do you? And let's pray about that, ask the Spirit of God to work and to move. I've told you about my family, haven't I? I'm sure I've done that. But here's my wife. I think I've got a screen there for again. Don't we look good? And she's not quite here, didn't quite make it for the service, but should be here really any time. And I'm glad she's joining us. And then here's the young'un, the whole crowd. There they all are. And I'm so blessed just to be able to serve the Lord with our family. I'm really, really overwhelmed at how good God's been to me. And he's such a good God, I shouldn't be surprised by that, should I? But I really am overwhelmed because I know their dad. And I'm really amazed that God's been so good to me. But there's Dave and Abby, and they serve the Lord there at West Coast Baptist College. And then Jacob's a sophomore this fall. He's studying for ministry. Charity's my ninth grader. And in the month of June, I got to preach in, I think it was about 30 days, I preached 40 times. And in the month of June, we drove 4,000 miles, just me and Charity. And we had a blast together, just had a blast. And then there's Bethany, of course, and then Josh and Bethany, they're over in Camarillo, California. He's a youth pastor. And there's my Matthew on the end, Matthew and Kareth celebrating their one-year anniversary next week. And he's a youth pastor down in Odenville, Alabama, out in the middle of nowhere. And they just had their teen VBS a few weeks ago. They had a final night of 98 teens and had 22 teenagers saved. Isn't that incredible? And so he's the one we've been praying for. His health issues are quite serious, and we don't know what's wrong with him, just trusting the Lord about it. But God's just been so good to me, and I miss traveling with all of them, but I'm still happy serving the Lord and praising God for how good he's been to our family. Hebrews 11, you ready for it? Oh, before I get you there, I got to tell you, I really appreciate your support as a church and you that pray for us. You know, these last couple of years have been a little difficult. We did a lot of missions work, and COVID has changed a lot of that. But in the midst of that, since we couldn't go to the mission field, what we did with all the support that came in is we started the Keeping It Young podcast. And Bethany and I had talked about that for years, and folks had encouraged us to teach on the family in a podcast format. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, and yet the Lord brought a man in our life. He works for Moody Radio. And he handles it all. We record it. I do all the studying. Bethany and I do all the preparation. Then we record it, and he takes care of everything from there. It's been a real answer to prayer. And we started thinking, you know, well, we'll see what happens. And we've been averaging in recent months about 12,000 listeners a month. And the Lord has really blessed the podcast, and we're really amazed at that. And then I'm working. You be praying for these upcoming missions trips. I'm invited to Moldova again. I'm working on getting that scheduled. And I've been invited to Malawi, Africa. I'm looking forward to going back there and preaching. I'll be teaching two different pastors' conferences and doing several evangelistic crusades. And then, of course, I have open invitations in the Philippines as well. And just trying to make it all work. I know we have all opinions about COVID, right? And at this point, I've not done the vaccination. I don't know that I'm against it necessarily. I think everybody ought to do what they ought to do. But I just haven't done it. I didn't feel comfortable about it. And yet that's going to be something we're going to have to cross as we start scheduling these missions trips. And so pray God will give us wisdom about that. I have two meetings coming up in Canada. And at this point, if I keep those meetings, then we've got to cross that line and figure out what to do. And I never thought I'd be making these kind of decisions, but you pray about that, will you? And I know a lot of my missionary friends are dealing with these same kind of things, and we want wisdom from the Lord. And I've always said I'd do about anything to preach the gospel, and I guess, would I be willing to take a shot to preach the gospel? And I don't like thinking that way. Y'all with me on that? And but I guess if I had to, I'd do that to preach the gospel. So you just pray about that, and thank you so much for church, for loving us and praying for us. And I sure appreciate you, Brother Steve. I'm glad that I can call you my friend. I was thinking the other day, the first time I came here, you made me nervous. And that was way over there in the other building. And I thought, who in the world is this guy? And how many of y'all were here? Do y'all remember the night in the service when he got up and said, I've got to correct Brother Young because he made a major error in his sermon? How many of y'all remember that? And I'm surprised I came back after that. And he scared me to death that night. And all it was something over Andy Griffith and Barney Fife. And I thought, what in the world have I gotten myself into? And I never dreamed I could go around the country and say, I have a friend in Poplar Bluff, Missouri named Steve Proctor. And I'm so thankful for that. And thank you for inviting me to your church. Are you ready for God's Word? Hebrews 11. I thought it'd be good tonight. I thought, you know what I ought to do is have people stand and read the entire chapter aloud together. But that's a long chapter. So let's just read one paragraph. Can we do that? How about verses 1 through 6? And the Bible says these words, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it," faith that is, "the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Now here's our two verses. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now watch this. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." How many of you have read these verses many times in your life? Haven't you? You know these, don't you? And I've been thinking a lot lately on that sixth verse. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's talk tonight for a few moments about walking with God in a messed up world like ours. How many of y'all agree this is a messed up world? No doubt about that. But yet on the other hand, I could almost say this, and I think you'd agree this too, and yet it's kind of an awesome time to be alive. Are y'all with me on that? Number one, I'm alive, and I feel like that's pretty awesome. Y'all with me on that? But I like living in this hour. Y'all with me on that? I mean, I told y'all this morning when I was a boy, we had an outhouse. I just want to take a moment and praise God that I live in this generation. I'm not opposed to indoor plumbing. Can I get an amen here tonight? I even like having a cell phone. How many of y'all with me on that? I have no idea how I got to churches before I had one. I just now pick up my phone and say, "Westwood Baptist Church, Poplar Bluff, Missouri." And a voice says, "Turn right." And I do. That voice says, "Turn left," and one of these days, that voice is going to get us all wound up. We're going to wind up in the Pacific Ocean, because it says, "Do it," and we just do it. I don't know how in the world I got to churches before that. I love this generation, and it really is a great hour to be alive. Technology's incredible. Aren't you glad you have a car? Aren't you glad you have a microwave oven? Aren't you glad you have a coffee pot that is a little faster than your forefathers had? We didn't have a TV when I was a kid. You know what we did for entertainment? We watched the percolator. How many of y'all ever had one of those percolators, that little glass bubble on the top? We didn't have anything else to do. We just watched the coffee percolate. That was our entertainment. I just want you to know I praise God for technology. This is a great hour to be alive. I was reading the other day about entertainment. You know, entertainment in our generation is over the top. I love to preach to teenagers, and I tell teens dad jokes, y'all. Y'all know I do that, don't you? I love jokes. I love to laugh with teenagers. But I'll tell you something about this generation. I can't compete with the technology that's out there. YouTube alone. I read the other day that YouTube now has, it said 800 million videos, over 37 million channels. If you assume the same growth rate of the past 10 years, and assume that no more videos would be uploaded until you stopped watching, you know, it would take you 60,000 years of non-stop watching just to watch YouTube videos alone. This is an incredible hour to be alive, isn't it? YouTubers upload about 720,000 hours of fresh video content every single day. About 500 hours of video were uploaded to YouTube per minute in 2020, which equals about 30,000 new videos every hour. I just want you to know, this is a great hour to be alive. You want to laugh? You can. You want to find entertainment? How many of y'all know this? It's available. You need help? You can find it. It's all out there. How many of y'all know this? This will date the crowd a little bit. How many of y'all know who Mr. Beast is? Anybody here? No? How many of y'all? Raise your hand. Good night. If you know who Mr. Beast is. Now, be honest. How many of you have never heard, as far as you know, of Mr. Beast? Let me see that. That's because y'all are old. Because did you know that Mr. Beast is a 23-year-old YouTube sensation, Mr. Beast, 23 years old. You know how much money he made last year just with his antics on YouTube? I read this, I researched it. As far as I can tell, this is true. Last year, Mr. Beast made, he's 23 years old, he made $54 million simply playing on YouTube. I think I need to find out what he did. How many of y'all think you could live on $54 million? Anybody here think you could live on that? What do you do with $54 million when you're 23 years old? It's a great hour to be alive. And yet, you know this, don't you? This is not only an amazing hour, this is also a slightly absurd hour to be alive, isn't it? When you can make $54 million doing nothing really that matters. This is a different generation, isn't it? We have high IQ, somebody said, because we're living in the information age. But strangely enough, we have the lowest EQ perhaps of any generation that's ever lived. You know that word, EQ? IQ, you know, is intelligent quotient. EQ is emotional quotient. We're living in an hour when families are falling apart and our emotional levels are the lowest they've ever been. Pornography is killing our generation. Our teenagers are being exposed to it even before they have a vocabulary to describe what they're seeing. The emotional challenges of our generation are overwhelming. Families struggle. Relationships are challenging. Virtual is now more important than is real. Did you know that you can now on the internet take a virtual vacation? There are people that will rent you their virtual yacht. And you never have to leave your living room to enjoy their virtual yacht. And you pay to do it. How many of y'all agree? This is an absurd generation. I'm thinking about buying me one of those virtual yachts. What in the world? Misinformation abounds. Feelings trump truth. Gender identity. Hashtag say gay. Hashtag gay pride. You make more money on YouTube simply by filming yourself counting to 100,000 than some people can make in a year of work. This is a strange hour to be alive. You know what? If you're not careful, here's what you'll think. You know what? We're the first generation that's been this messed up. But can I tell you something? Really, that's not true, because you're reading in Hebrews 11 about a man named Enoch, and Enoch lived in one messed up generation. Did you know that? What do you know about Enoch, by the way? Do you know anything at all about Enoch? We know that he walked with God, right? And we know that he pleased God. Do you know anything about his family? Anybody here know much about Enoch? Enoch had a son. How many of y'all know the son of Enoch that's famous? What was it? Methuselah. In fact, I got it. Give me the screen, guys. Let's start here with Enoch. Now, consider Enoch. Enoch had a son, and watch this. His name was, say it again, Methuselah. Anybody know Methuselah's son that was quite important and prominent in the Bible? Lamech is his name. How many of y'all knew that? You know that name? So we got Lamech here. Now, don't throw this up too fast. Enoch lived to be 365 years old. Pastor, if you're going to live that long, they got a whole lot of preaching yet left to hear from you. How many of y'all praying that won't happen? Anybody here? I'm just kidding. Enoch was 60-some years old when he had Methuselah. Methuselah, according to the Bible, was in his hundreds when he had Lamech. So Enoch was alive when Lamech was born. Methuselah was alive when Lamech's son was born. How many of y'all know who his son is? Say it out loud. It's Noah. And so Enoch had a son named Methuselah, who had a son named Lamech, who had a son named Noah. And the point here is simply this. Enoch walked with God in a pagan hour. As the world was falling apart, Enoch walked with God and had a son named Methuselah. And Methuselah was such a great man of God, he had a son named Lamech who was so mightily used of God. He had a son named Noah, and he trained Noah to walk with God and serve God and live for God. And Enoch, in a messed up world, so bad that it brought the judgment of God in an epic, proportionate way. Y'all with me on that?
This isn't the first generation. We're not the first generation that's been messed up. Enoch was a messed up generation. Methuselah's generation was messed up. Lamech's generation was messed up. Noah's generation was messed up. And yet here were four men in their generation who walked with God. Now here's my question tonight, and it's pretty simple. Just a simple question for a few moments. How do you walk with God in a messed up world like ours? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 gives you three answers, and here's number one. Here's how you do it. By faith, you got to please God. By faith, you've got to please God. Now stay with me here just a moment. By faith, you've got to please God. Now, I'm going to come back to this, but let me jump ahead to a point. You'll hear this again in this sermon. You know what faith is, don't you? Faith is a noun in the verb form. It literally means to believe, or to trust, or to have confidence in. In other words, when the Bible says that Enoch pleased God by faith, what it means is that Enoch believed that if I please God, that is better than not pleasing God. Now, y'all with me on that? I'm going to get technical in just a moment. Enoch came to a place where he said, you know what? I would rather live for God in this messed up world than do anything else. And if I live for God in this messed up world, what Enoch wants you to know is, it is worth it if you're serving God by faith. Someone said years ago, I think it was Dr. Pete Rice, that's where I got this quote. But Dr. Pete Rice said that faith is serving God, believing that if you do, there will come a day you will be glad you did. And I'm going to back up and say that again because that's a mouthful. Faith is you serving God, believing that if you do, there will come a day you will be glad you did. Now, let's just take that apart. Here's a Bible passage that says, here's a man named Enoch who lived in a messed up generation, so messed up that four generations later in his family, God destroyed the whole world except for his family. How many of y'all agree? That must have been a pretty messed up generation. Because we're living in a pretty messed up generation, and yet God's judgment hasn't fallen on us yet. Y'all follow that? But this generation was so messed up that God poured out his judgment and literally started over with Noah, Enoch's great-great-great-grandson. God started over. But here's where it all started. It started with a man who said, you know what? This may be a messed up world, but by faith I'm going to please God. Now let's talk about that just a moment. I'm almost done. I won't be long tonight because I got to get downstairs. But watch this. Here's a good question for all of us, isn't it? Am I pleasing God? Is my life pleasing to God? Let's take that apart. Do I walk with God? Am I right with God? Is God first in my life? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, the Bible says. The Bible says very clearly, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are you pleasing God? Let's just take it apart. Are you pleasing God in your personal life? Are you pleasing to God in your home? Are you pleasing to God in your spiritual disciplines? Are you pleasing to God in your priorities? Are you pleasing to God in your purity? You know what our generation needs to do in the church? We love things that sound good and mean nothing. Now I'm going to be careful. Don't be offended. I'm sorry. Don't be offended about this. We love things that sound good and yet make no difference in our life. Here's a big one. You ever heard this? All you need is just to decide, what would Jesus do? You know why we like that statement? Because for most of us, it means nothing. How many folks you know that wears the bracelet? What WWJD, and yet it makes no difference at all in their life. Y'all with me on that? Here's what I want to show. Put this on the screen. We have to exchange what would Jesus do for what is the truth I should live. Now, church, you think about that. Because most of us would rather some cute little pious whatever. You know, what would Jesus do? That sounds cool. I'll just decide and act on it. But God did not call us to live by our emotion and by whatever we decide we want to do. God called us to get into His Word and line up our life and our habits and our thinking and our preferences and our decisions on Thus Saith the Lord. When I line up my life by the Word of God, what I find out is that's a way that is worth living. And Enoch experienced that in his generation. You want the power of God in your life, you got to line up your life and say, Lord, I want to please you with all of my life. I want you first in my life. I'm going to be careful what I watch on television. I'm going to be careful what I look at on the internet. I'm going to make sure my business dealings are honest. I want to be right with you, God, in everything I do. How many of y'all can see that if I'm going to walk with God in my generation, that what I've got to do is by faith please God? Can you see that in the text? All right, now look back at the text one more time. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that, watch this, cometh to God. All right? He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that do what? Say the word diligently. Seek Him. Now here's my second point. My second point is that if we're going to walk with God in a messed up world, by faith we have to please God. And number two, by faith we have to come to God. Be honest, nobody ever does that. Y'all are the good people, right? Did I catch you off guard? Y'all are the good people, right? I mean, you're in church on a Sunday night. Give me an amen right there. Doesn't that count for something? So I was saying, these are the good people. You didn't have to come tonight, and yet you did. And yet, be honest, is it not true in our generation that so many times we're so busy and so distracted that we don't come to God? How many of y'all know this? It's easier to worry than to go to God. Y'all with me on that? It's easier to talk than to go to God. What do you think about it? Oh, my goodness. What are you thinking? And what are we going to do? Oh, my God. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? This world is falling apart. You know, look at our president. Look at our Congress. Oh, my goodness. Look at our governors. What in the world are we going to do? You know what the Bible says? Here's what you do in a messed up world. You're going to walk with God. By faith, you got to get to God. In other words, you know what will change our world? Things like this. You get in the presence of God and you say, Lord, I don't know what in the world is going on in this world, and I don't know what to do about it, but Lord, we got a president and he needs you. And Lord, we got a vice president and she needs you. And Lord, we don't know who's going to be the next president, but we know this, they need you. And Almighty God, it doesn't matter whether they're Republican or whether they're Democrat, if they don't have you, they're not going to amount to much anyway. God, you've got to move in our generation. See, if you're going to please God, you got to get on your knees somewhere and say, God, my family needs help. Maybe you got to say, God, I need help. I was reading the other day in my Bible. You've read this, haven't you? James chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom. How many of you read that? You ever read that? Now, I don't know why it just struck me as funny. That passage struck me as funny because I was reading it the other day, and the Bible says, it's almost like he says this, just in case there's one of you that you just don't know what to do. Just by chance, you don't know what to do in your family. You don't know how to have a bet. Just in case, if any man lacks wisdom, I think if I'd have been writing that, you know what I'd have said? I'd have said, now, hey, y'all. I mean, y'all with me on that? But James says, look, if any man lacks wisdom, now why does he say that? Because you got to come to God by faith. It struck me as funny that it dawned on me. How was it that a man named Enoch walked so closely with God that God gave him a son who had a son who had a son that literally saved the whole human race? You know why? Because there's a man that came to God by faith. There are dads in this room. And dad, the fact of the matter is, you don't have a clue about how to be the dad you ought to be. But you know what you can do? You can go to the presence of God. You can lift your hands in the presence of God and say, God, I ain't got a clue what to do. But your word says, if I'll come to you and if I'll seek you diligently, that you'll direct my steps and I'll find out a great way to live. I'm coming to you by faith. How often you go to God by faith? See, you say, you know, here we are in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and boy, don't people need the Lord in Poplar Bluff, Missouri? Well, how much are you praying about it? You ever go to God and say, God, there's a lot of folks in Poplar Bluff, Missouri yet need to be saved. How often do you come to God? Daniel lived in a pagan world, didn't he? Had a pagan king. They worshiped pagan gods. He was a slave. He was a eunuch. I mean, everything that he could have. He had every reason in the world to ignore God. And yet, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that he prayed three times a day on his knees and gave thanks to God. By faith, in a pagan world, here's what he did. He came to the presence of God and said, God, I don't know the answer for this pagan world, but we need help, and I need help, and you got to do something in this pagan world. And you know what? Almighty God did miracles all over his generation because there was one man who was willing to, by faith, come to the presence of God. How do you walk with God in a messed up world like ours? Church, this isn't spooky. I just got to please God. And I got to do it by faith. It's not me just, all right, fine, I will. It's not that idea at all. All right, for crying out loud, nobody else will serve God. I reckon I'll do it. It's not that spirit at all. It says, God, I believe you're real. I believe you're real. Did he say that in the text? He that comes to God must believe that he. God, I believe you're real. And I can't explain. I can't answer all the questions. But I believe you're real. And I believe it's worth it if I serve you and please you. So, God, you help me. I'm going to please you. What does your word say? What is your word? Teenagers come to me a lot. You know, I'm going to preach a lot to teens this week. And teens will come to me and they'll say, hey, now, Brother Dave, they'll say, what do you think about? And Pastor, the list is a mile long. What do you think about this kind of music? What do you think about that video game? What do you think about? And people say to me, what do you think about? Now, two things always come to my mind when that happens. Years ago, I heard a camp meeting preacher. How many of y'all know what I mean by that? I heard a camp meeting preacher, and here's what he said. He said, when someone comes up to you and says, let me tell you what I think. He said, I would advise that you take four steps back because they're about to vomit their Adamic nature all over you. And I always remember that. But the second thing, when a teenager or even adult comes up and says, Brother Young, what do you think about it? I don't mind having a discussion. I don't mind that at all. But you know what I've discovered? What I think doesn't matter at all. How many of y'all know this? Don't hurt me too bad here. But how many of y'all know this? There's a chance I could be wrong. How many of y'all aware of that? How many of y'all aware of that? Are y'all with me on that? There's a chance I could be wrong. But how many of y'all know that the Bible is always right? How many of y'all know that? See, how many of y'all know that God has the answer when I don't know what to say? So I say to teens all the time, why are you asking me? Why do you want to know what I think about such and such? Why don't you get on your knees in the presence of God and ask him? Say, God, is this okay? God, should I do this? God, is this wrong to go to college? Should I take this job? Should I make this move? God, what would you have? The Bible says if you're going to walk with God in a messed up world, here's what we learned from Enoch. Number one, you got to please God. Y'all with me on that? Number two, you got to come to God by faith. And before I leave that, I'm running out of time. The Bible says you got to do it diligently. How many of y'all know that word, diligently? Y'all know that word? You ever gone to a restaurant where the waiter wasn't very diligent? Has that ever happened to you? How many of y'all find that annoying? Anybody here? You can't get your water refilled, and you need a drink, and you can't get the water refilled, and you just can't get it, and you're thirsty, and they're not paying attention. They're not diligent. I don't know about you. That drives me insane.
Me too.
Thank you. You ever been driving on the freeway, and you're in the passing lane? And the driver in the passing lane is going the same speed as the driver in the non-passing lane. How many of y'all picking up what I'm laying down? Is your blood pressure up? And you're like, hey, my daughter-in-law, my son Matt, his wife, she yells at people when she drives. It's entertaining. And she's like, commit! You're in the passing lane, commit! She says it all the time. Commit! Pass them! Commit! And I think about her all the time now. I'll be going down the freeway, and I'm trying to pass somebody, and they won't let you because they're going the same speed as the person. They're not diligent in their driving. They're not aware of anybody around them. I passed a guy yesterday. I finally went around him on the wrong side, you know, just went over on this side. And as I got up beside him, looked down in his car, he didn't have a clue I was there. He's texting on his phone in the passing lane. And so I blew the air horn. That helped him. And, and woke him up a little bit there, just in the name of Jesus. And got it. But you know what I mean with this word, diligent, don't you? Y'all familiar with this word? The word is diligent. If we're going to walk with God in this messed up world, how many of you are aware of this? No longer can you and I float along apathetically. We got to get all in for God. We got to get diligent. here was a man named Enoch in a messed up world, and he walked with God. And what the Bible wants you to know is you can too, if by faith you'll please God like Enoch did, and if by faith you'll come to God. And I got to hasten. Let me give you one more truth here. Throw it on the screen for us. And here's the last one. By faith, you've got to expect it to be worth it. I love this. Now, don't you miss this. The Bible says something interesting in this text. The Bible says, very simply in this passage, he says at the end, we've got to believe that God is, how many of y'all catch that? And, watch this now, you've got to believe that he is a rewarder. Now, chew on that a moment. A what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, nobody here but us tonight, and I know we're taping and everything, so you got to be loud. How would you define that word? God says you got to come to me in this messed up world like Enoch and believe that if you'll serve me and please me and seek my face diligently, you got to come to me believing that it'll be worth it because I'm a rewarder. How would you define that? Abundant life in Christ. That's not wrong. How would you define it? All right, eternity. Now, I'm going to define the word for you because it shocked me. You know what the word means? It means he'll pay you. It means he'll pay you. Did you catch that? It means he'll pay you. All right, Brother Bassetti, your sons aren't here, so would you come up here and help me? And I'd done your teenagers when they were younger, but the teens are downstairs, so come over here, would you? Let's just illustrate this, all right? You're going to help me illustrate this. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you're going to walk with God in this messed up world, you've got to please God. That affects every area of your life, doesn't it? Your marriage, how you raise children, what you watch on TV, what you look at, how you go to church, how you read your Bible. You got to please God. Number two, you got to come to God by faith. You with me on that one?
Yes.
And number three, you got to expect that it's worth it. And God says in his word here, here's what I want you to know. I'm a rewarder of them that will diligently seek me. So in other words, it means he'll pay you. Okay. Now, are you an honest man?
Yes.
All right. Because I'm doing an illustration. Oh. Did you say you? He said he was a car salesman.
That's the most honest.
Is there somebody else can help me with those? No, just stay right here. Now watch this. What the Bible says is this is God speaking. Now, I wouldn't give this illustration if the Bible didn't say it. This is exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says if you'll please God by faith and you'll come to God by faith, you've also got to come to God expecting that if you do, it'll be worth it. Because faith is serving God, believing that if I do, there will come a day I'll be glad I did. So literally, here's what God says. God says, will you serve me?
Yes.
Will you come to me? Will you seek me? Will you live for me?
Yes.
All right, God says, well, then I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pay you. Okay. This is an illustration. In other words, you can't keep this, all right? Just an illustration. All right. And God says, come on, come with me, come on. God says, see, if you'll come with me, I'll pay you. Just come on, serve the Lord, serve me, I'll pay you. It's getting smaller, and it's going to get smaller yet. God says, you know, see, come on, I'll pay you. And God says, you know what, I'll bless your family. My goodness, look at you seeking me. Come here, don't. I'm not done.
And
God says, you know, I see I'm out of cash. So God says, come on, I'll just pay you. I'll pay you. See, let's see here. Here, you can have my debit card. I'll pay you. See, God says, I'll pay you. This is my right to carry. My right to carry. I'll pay you. Now, see how silly this illustration is in a sense? I'm 52 years old. I've been saved 36 years. You would know this, wouldn't you? There's no perfection involved in this. But I will tell you something that happened to me 35 years ago. 35 years ago, I said, Lord, I want to please you. And I haven't always done it. But 35 years ago, I said, I'll say, God, I'm going to live for you. And you know what? I want to be the husband I ought to be. And I want to be the dad I ought to be. And I want to be honest. And I want to be pure in this R-rated, X-rated, godless society. God, I want to walk with you and honor you and please you. And I set out to do number one. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone to God and said, God, I don't know how to do it. Bethany needs a better husband than she has. My kids need a better daddy than they got. And God, I can't do it. I can't. Help! Help! And every time I've said, help, God Almighty says, I will. Here, you can have it all. God just gives it all. God says, you come to me by faith. You know what will happen? I'll bless you. You come to me by, I'm not a health and wealth, name it and claim it kind of preacher, but I'm telling you the promises of God are true. God never tells us it's going to be easy. God never tells us that everything will work out in your life. But God does promise you, I will reward you. I will bless you. I will lead your life. I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. I will meet your needs. I will hear your cry. I will be there when you get bad news. And I will walk with you through this world. And when it comes time for you to leave this world, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you by the hand and I'll lead you to a land that is fairer than day. Ladies and gentlemen, no wonder the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't it that simple? Listen, no wonder Enoch walked with God. Was it worth it? Yes, the world was falling apart. But Enoch pleased God. And boy, look what God did a miracle in his family. Noah one day heard the voice of God, his great-great-grandson. And Noah, God said, Noah, build an ark because I got to destroy the world. I've been patient for all these thousands of years. And judgment's got to come, Noah. But I got to start over. And Noah, I'm just telling you, you've found grace in my eyes. And Noah, if you'll build that ark, I'll bless you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. Amen. Noah, why'd you build an ark? Because the world needed saving. Noah, why'd you build an ark? Because my family needed saving. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. You can walk with God in a messed up world, but church, by faith, you've got to please God. So how you doing? By faith, you've got to come to God. How you doing? And by faith, you've got to expect it to be worth it. Thank you, Brother Bassetti. I'm almost done here now. Let's wind this down. Think about this, and I'm done. Just chew on this just a moment. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I read today a tweet by the great preacher Tony Evans. Y'all know that name? Yeah. And Brother Evans said this today. He said, faith is taking a step without being guaranteed of the outcome. I agree, but only part way. Because based on Hebrews 11 and verse 6, I can know the outcome. That God, if I serve you by faith, here's what I know. You are a rewarder. Amen. Here's what I know. You say, yeah, Brother Young, I tried to serve God and my family's struggling. Can I tell you something? Your family's struggling because you live in the midst of a sin-cursed world. And struggles are normal when you live in a sin-cursed world. How many of y'all know that? Disease and death and crying and challenges and difficulties are normal when you live in a sin-cursed world. But you know what God says? God says, you can still please me even if your family's all messed up. You can still please me even if you blew it last year. You can still please me even if nothing seems to be working out right because I am the God of the universe and I am at work whether you can see it or not. And God says, I want you to know I will reward you if you'll please me and you'll come to me by faith. And if you'll just expect it's going to be worth it, I'll show you that it is. And I'm just telling you, I could stay here all night. How many of y'all know that? And I could stand here all night, and I could just tell you over and over again tonight, you know what? We sought the Lord about this, and look what God did. I'm just telling you, he's a rewarder. And I don't know how many hours I prayed, and look what God did in my son's life. He's a rewarder. And I don't know how many times I've gone to God and said, God, how are we going to pay for this? And God's a rewarder. And I've gone to God and said, God, somebody's got to be healed, God. And if you don't do a miracle, and God did a miracle. And sometimes we went to God for my father-in-law, and God healed him, but in a different way than we thought. God just said, you know what? He's so valuable to me. I don't want him there with you. I want him up here with me. And God just took him on to heaven. And he's in heaven now. And you know what? He's completely healed. And I'll promise you, I miss him dearly, but I'm telling you, he wouldn't come back. He wouldn't come back. There's no way he could. Why would you leave a land that is fairer than day? No sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no tragedy, no trials, no difficulties, and come back to this earth? Are you serious? You're going to win. You're going to win if you'll serve God by faith. Walk with God in this messed up generation. How many of you agree that this is a pretty awesome generation? How many of y'all agree with that, do you? How many of y'all agree it's a messed up generation? How many of y'all agree with that? And how many of y'all agree that we ought to walk with God in this messed up world? How many of y'all agree with that? And don't you want to please God? And don't you want to seek God? And don't you want to see God's rewards in your life? Then, brothers and sisters, why don't we take a few moments tonight and in a fresh way say, God, here I am, Lord, and this is all I have, and I know this world is messed up, but I'm all yours, and I'm all in, and and I want to serve you, and I want to please you. Enoch walked with you, and you did miracles in his life. And God, I don't know if you'd do a miracle for me or not, but I know I belong to you, and I know you belong to me. And God, I'm all in. I'm all yours. I'm going to serve you and please you and honor you. And my brothers and sisters, if you'll do it, I will tell you, you will find out that it is worth it to serve God by faith. That's what you'll find out. Pastor, it's all yours.